Buffalo Bills game day on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
All right, here we go. Here we go. We got to have a drive.
23 left. 23 left. Will.
It's time now for the Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. Transitown, unbeatable prices, trusted service. Now, here's your host, Nate Geary.
All right, welcome to the Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. Transitown, unbeatable prices, trusted service. Nate Geary here. The Bills, they get the dub. And my favorite time of year is when I get to load in, lock in on the overtime show after a 1 p.m. game because I get to see TJ Luckman on the other side of the screen or, you know, the window here with his mustache. And, you know, listen, if there are a few true pleasures that I have as a 32-year-old man, and one of them is getting to work with my man TJ Luckman. So stoked to bring you coverage for the next 2 hours. 803-0550. We don't have that other number anymore, so I got the 1-800 number. I'm pretty sure we don't do that anymore. But we definitely have 803-0550, and I hope to hear from you guys soon as you guys are, you know, if you are still hanging around the stadium drinking the last couple of beverages that are left in the cooler, or if you're on your way home, maybe you're going to Rochester, maybe you're going to Canada, who knows? Let's hear from you, though, because the Bills get a win in a much, you know, a very important win, I would say, in a game that didn't really feel that great early, but started to see the, you know, like shell of what a team that has been a perennial Super Bowl contender over the last couple of seasons, like they flashed that a little bit today. Like there was a little bit of that. And I, for one, feel much better about this team's prospects moving forward. Now, they're going to have to overcome some injuries, right? I mean, they're going to have to overcome this Taron Johnson injury. We don't know the extent of that forearm injury that he sustained on the first drive, thanks to some friendly fire from Taylor Rapp, who kind of has a reputation for like hurting his own teammates because he's just flying around with reckless abandon. And you want him to play like that, but you also maybe want him to not kill his teammates. So we'll keep an eye on that as the short game week. I would assume Taron Johnson will not be playing one way or another on a short week against the Miami Dolphins. But holy cow, let's for a moment talk about two guys that I thought had fantastic games that I was not expecting to be sitting here at 6:04 p.m. Week one on the Overtime Show talking about. That's Jamarcus Ingram and Cam Lewis. I keep forgetting Cam. For whatever reason, I want to keep calling Cam Lewis Cam Phillips, and I don't know why. That is not his name. Cam Lewis had a remarkable game as their starting dime player, but as Sean McDermott in his post-game press conference, if you didn't hear Sean McDermott's comments, we will get that for you later on this evening as we get through this program and, of course, start taking phone calls and do all that jazz. But I was thoroughly impressed by Cam Lewis. This is another player with a lot of time in the system, in the Sean McDermott and now Bobby Babbage system. Really impressed with him stepping up, stepping in. Has a lot of the same traits you might think of as with, like, Taron Johnson. I mean, I thought as a run defender, he played a really good game. Two former UB standouts, Jamarcus Ingram, Cam Lewis, making a huge impact in this game. Good for DeMar Hamlin. For me, did not stand out. And that's good. You'd kind of either, if you're a safety, you either want to be really good or never heard from. Because if you're never heard from, that means you're just doing your job and you're not giving up big plays. And that's what DeMar Hamlin did today. So good on him on his first start coming back, from that gruesome injury just a few seasons ago in Cincinnati. So, you know, a couple of things, too, that I want to get out on the offensive side of the ball. But I wanted to first start with a couple of players that really stood out to me. And again, Cam Lewis, Jamarcus Ingram, two really big games. How can you, I don't even know how I didn't start the show by coming out and talking about Greg Rousseau, who, I think the Bills might have made a mistake not getting that extension done before today. Like, I like the Spencer Brown extension. That was one that needed to happen. And, you know, they locked up their two franchise tackles, and that's a good thing. And I'm not going to, you know, take anything away from that. But I think Groot's going to cost a lot of money, like a pant load of money. I think the Brandon Bean should spend the rest of the week talking to Gregory Rousseau's agent to try to lock that deal up before he gets one more sack, because I think that his all-pro season is loading. What you saw in Pittsburgh in the preseason wasn't just preseason hype. It wasn't the preseason pledge. backfiring and having all of us get hyped up because he got two sacks and two and a half sacks and two possessions. This guy is ready to take the leap. He's ready to take the next step as a developed pass rusher, not just a fantastic, really damn good edge run defender. Now he's taking that step into he is damn near unblockable. I mean, just an unbelievable game from Gregory Rousseau. And hey, a Von Miller sighting. Love to see it. So that's kind of my thoughts on the defensive side of the ball. We'll move to the offensive side of the ball before we start taking some calls and get connected with our fans, which we will do here in just a few moments. But on the offensive side of the ball, listen, without the turnover, the Bills did basically anything that they wanted offensively all day, which is, I think, a good sign for an offense that all of us, maybe I'm blanket statement all of us, but I would say that I have a decent finger on the pulse of the fan base on, you know, the takes and the narratives. And I think largely people were nervous about what this team, what this offense was going to look like with a full-time Joe Brady and no Stephon Diggs, no Gabriel Davis. And I thought it looked okay. I thought there's a lot of stuff that they're going to have to clean up as the season rolls along. They're not alone in that. But the only negative detractor that I'm going to bring up about this Bills offense and their performance today is I think it took them too long to lean into Josh Allen, not the runner. I would like for them to even use Josh Allen as the runner even less than they have been, than they did today. But two completions on two attempts going into the two-minute warning in the first half. I know they didn't have a lot of possession, and Arizona gets that turnover, and blah, 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 blah. You can tell me this team wants to run more, and I'll buy into it, because I think James Cook is also en route to a huge season this year. He showed me today that if he can be relied upon in the pass game, which no drops today, looked sure-handed when the ball went his way, if he is that guy that we saw today, James Cook is going to play a lot of football for this team. And Ray Davis looked good in flashes and spurts when he played. And I think you know what you got in Ty Johnson. Brandon Bean said this in pregame with Chris Brown right before the game in his interview and his sit-down with him, that this might be the most complete group of running backs in terms of how they complement each other that they've had in Brandon Bean's tenure here as the Bills general manager. I totally agree. I think that they play off of each other very, very well. And I think we saw the fruits of that today being led by, and for you fantasy people who really love James Cook, but are like, hey, I don't know if he's going to get red zone touches. He comes off the field last year. Latavius Murray basically went in every single time the Bills offense got to the red zone. Well, that didn't really happen today. Now, I did see a full possession in the red zone where I think Ty Johnson and Ray Davis split snaps there, and I didn't see James Cook. But the first red zone possession where they go up at the end of the half there and get it to 17-10, and then they double dip for the turnaround in the second half, that drive, that touchdown drive in the end, going into the end of the half, and then I think the field goal drive, James Cook did not come off the field. He was out there every single play, every single snap. And I know that Josh is going to eat up a lot of those red zone carries and a lot of those red zone touchdowns. But it was promising to me that this team and this offense is now trusting James Cook in the red zone and not pulling him off the field in lieu of another player. That says a little something to me about what they view his potential season in being. I think James Cook's en route for a big, big season. Frankly, he might be the second most important piece on this offense outside of Josh Allen. And I know that might come off as a hot take. He's a running back and traditional. Like, this guy's got juice, man. When he gets the ball in his hands, he is a threat to break it every single time he touches the ball. Same with Khalil Shakir, who I think is probably needs more touches, if I'm being honest. I walk away from this game and say that everybody's going to eat narrative is probably true. They weren't BSing you. They weren't feeding you lines. They're going to get everybody involved. 9 total players, I believe, had catches in this game. I want to see more Kincaid. I would like to see more Khalil Shakir. But how about Keon Coleman? For my pregame co-host, Joe DiBiase, who was kind of a, maybe I'll stop short of calling him a Keon hater. He is a more of a show me guy on Keon Coleman. I don't think he's a hater on Keon Coleman, but I will tell you that I feel like today was the kind of performance in his first game that should tell you he's not going to have problems separating. Maybe at the line of scrimmage, he gets jammed up, whatever. I thought he separated fine today. The catch down the field was fantastic. Josh Allen clearly trusts him, and I think Keon Coleman is going to have, I mean, he led the team in snaps, which I did not see coming. I think it's 72% of the snaps. He led him in targets. He led him in catches. He led him in yards. That's a lot for a rookie that I was not necessarily expecting them. I thought they were going to slow play Keon Coleman. They threw him out there, man. And like Mac Hollins, I mean, there were a lot of positives on the offensive side of the ball. The only negative, the only drawback that I saw from this game was the self-inflicted wounds, the procedural penalties, the offsides, which they had three on one drive. They got to get that cleaned up. They were the most penalized team in those procedure penalties in the NFL last season. They were no better today, this afternoon, that's for sure. And the other thing is some of the holding calls. And listen, these were, I think, I don't know if I heard this right, and I don't know if this is true, but I was told in the broadcast booth that this was the first game for this group of referees together. And I instantly believed it because of how bad they were in this game. So, a lot of stuff to get to over the next hour and 45 or so, but time now to get connected to our fans, and it's brought to you by Verizon, the official 5G network of the Buffalo Bills. Let's go to Bill, who's been waiting patiently. Bill, you are on the Overtime Show. Good evening to you, sir.
Thank you. First of all, congratulations to the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen for a great win. And I want to say something, and I want to say congratulations to Jeff Pegula for what she did yesterday. Great achievement. Now, I want one thing to be thought about. Why have they allowed the special teams coach to stay on this team? They were terrible last year, and they're terrible again. And you know, they've got good football players, so I don't believe it's the players. And why McDismal has not done something about it, it really upsets me. And I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks for the call, Bill. Bill, they won! They're 1-0. I'm supposed to be the negative one, Bill. You're supposed to be the one walking me from away from the ledge. Listen, having said that, I don't totally disagree with your remarks about the special teams. They need to be better on special teams. It is a carryover problem that I believe Sean Smiley, I think, is the name of the special teams coordinator, but I know there was a player on the UB basketball team. Like
Matthew Smiley.
Matthew. Sean Smiley played on the UB basketball team like 8 years ago. And that is just so everybody gets a little idea of what is in Nate Geary's head. The useless information that is somehow converted to long-term information, long-term memory, is Sean Smiley on UB basketball like 8 years ago. So, but Bill, I would tell you, let's walk you back off the ledge a little bit here. The new rules, this is what the NFL wanted. This is why they changed the rules. They wanted, I think if Sean McDermott had it his way, they would have kicked it out of the end zone every single time. But going into the wind, I said this pregame, I was watching those guys warm up into that part of the end zone, into the scoreboard side, and the ball was stopping midair, and it looked like it was falling off of a table. It was difficult conditions kicking in that direction. Kudos to Tyler Bass for kicking two field goals successfully in that direction. But yeah, that was a difficult, I saw, by the way, a Kyer Elam missed tackle on that. There was a couple of missed tackles. Having said that, they got to get that cleaned up, but that is why they changed the kickoff rule. They wanted more plays like that. So keep that in mind. That's got to get cleaned up. I'm sure they're going to be looking at that all week as they prepare for Thursday night against the Miami Dolphins. But thanks for the call, Bill. And crack yourself a soda pop and, you know, relax a little. Bills are 1-0, you know? Let's go to Bob. Bob's been waiting patiently. Bob, you're on the Overtime Show. Welcome.
Hey, Nate. How you doing?
I'm good.
So I think there was a collective concern across Bills Mafia today regarding the defense in the first half. Mm. And I tried to just be analytical about what I would see happening. Obviously, Taron Johnson going down early really hurt. I thought that at times the linebacking core was a little bit confused out there. I'm a little bit concerned about that position. Obviously, I love Bernard. Dorian Williams, he's got a lot of speed, but just seems like in many cases he's out of position. He has a little bit difficult time in coverage, and I didn't even see, any other linebackers make plays besides Williams and Bernard. Was Morrow out there a lot? Because
I didn't see him.
He did much.
I didn't see him play. I didn't see him
play. Do you
play.
Have any concerns about the linebacking?
You know,
I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah,
to you.
Thanks for the call, Bob. I appreciate it. Absolutely. Listen, I mean, Matt Milano is probably your best defensive player going into the season. He's not here, and I think you're going to see growing pains with Dorian Williams. He is uber athletic. His RAS, I think his RAS score was insanely good. I mean, he's as fast. I think he ran a faster 40 time at the combine than Keon Coleman did. So he's got the athleticism. I think it's transferring the athleticism and then combining it with a little bit more instinct. It's hard to teach instincts. Like it really, truly is. And Matt Milano has him. Terrell Bernard has instincts. They just exist with Terrell Bernard. But I think that it's going to take a little time to grow into the role. I think you're going to see him mostly be a first and second down linebacker. I like the dime defense. This isn't just happening in Buffalo, by the way. They did have to resort to playing more dime last year with Jordan Poyer in that role because Poyer did not really have the foot speed to play the deep half safety any longer, especially on obvious passing downs. And they're moving that sort of concept this year. I think you would see way more, you know, straight nickel looks where Milano and Terrell Bernard basically never leave the field if Milano was healthy, but that's not the case. So now what you're seeing is Cam Lewis in that role. And I like Cam Lewis in that role a lot. I think he's athletic. I think he's gritty. He can play the run, but still, you know, give you some assets in the coverage game as well. So am I nervous? Am I concerned about, you know, where this team is linebacker-wise? I would be lying straight to your face, Bob, if I said no. But I also think there's going to be some growing pains. There's going to be some learning on the run. And I think they're going to do, and Sean McDermott, Bobby Babbage, are going to do a good job of making sure they take Dorian Williams off the field so that they're not putting him in positions to fail and giving themselves better opportunities in coverage with Cam Lewis. And maybe, you know, we'll see if at some point that becomes Cole Bishop as well. But I think it was telling that Cole Bishop, now coming back from injury and, you know, didn't get to play a lot, didn't get a lot of reps in training camp. I would sort of imagine Cole Bishop being in that role. But if Cole Bishop finds himself in the lineup and they want to go a little bit of a heavier dime look, I could absolutely see Cole Bishop in that role as well as the season goes on. So concern, maybe I'll stop short of saying concern, Bob, but certainly a position that I'll be keeping my eye on. And listen, this was a defense that struggled to get stops in the first half. There's no doubt about it. But again, as much as I maybe early in this game sort of thought that they didn't look prepared, and they didn't. They did not come out of this game looking prepared defensively, didn't really know how to hem in and keep Kyler Murray from beating them with his legs. But they didn't give up a touchdown in the second half on the defense. Now, obviously, the special teams gave up one, but they gave up 17 points in the first half, and they gave up field goals in the second half. So kudos to McDermott. Kudos to Bobby Babbage for making the second half adjustments and doing what it took to put themselves back in a position to obviously win this football game. Thanks for the call, Bob. Let's go to Johnny. Johnny, you're on the Overtime Show. Welcome.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, I think the offense something looked disjointed about it, and I get that. I think we're trying to obviously run the ball a little bit more. But I hate seeing Kincaid get one target all day. You know, this is probably the worst defense we're going to play all year. Arizona, they didn't do much in the offseason to improve their defense, and they look like it.
I'll say this, though, Johnny. Their linebackers, Mac Wilson and Zaire White, their other linebacker. I thought Mac Wilson actually played pretty well today. He made some big plays for them. I'll say this, Johnny. I agree with you in that I do want to see Dalton Kincaid be featured. Like, that's really what I'd like to see. But I think a lot of teams are going to go into each and every week, Johnny, knowing that the Bills want to feature Dalton Kincaid, and they're going to say, make your receivers beat us. And today, Johnny, Mac Hollins, I thought that he played a pretty damn good game. Obviously, Keon Coleman played well. I even liked what I saw from MVS. I thought the receivers played a really solid game today, and I think they're going to have to in order to take the attention away from Dalton Kincaid. But I'm with you, Johnny. Go ahead, though.
Oh, no, I don't disagree with you that the rest of the receivers, you know, stepped up, played their role well. But, you know, it just felt like that kind of, even though we put up 34 points, it just felt like that really conservative type play calling.
I agree.
You know, I look at Khalil Shakir. I mean, that guy, every time he touches the ball, something good happens.
Yeah.
And he didn't have enough. You know, when he did touch the ball, he made the best out of it, which was great. But it's that conservative mindset that I know we got the win, and at the end of the day, that's all that matters. But even at the end of the game, you know, you got 4th and 2, you can put the game away with a first down, and you kick the field goal of death. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, look, the Cardinals have moved the ball pretty well all day. Not so much in the second half, but they had 28 points. And mm-hmm. I know one of them came off a turnover, but still. We take the ball out of our best player's hand, Josh Allen, and we kick a field goal to go up six. With they have over 2 minutes left and three timeouts. I'm sitting there like, this is here we go again.
Mm-hmm.
It's a week one kind of collapse, and that's just what it felt like. And I'm believe me, over the moon that we got the win, on to Miami, new week, and I think the offense will come together as the year continues. Just that, like, you know, rushing conservative mindset is going to kind of, I hope it doesn't stay all year.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Johnny. I appreciate it. Listen, I don't disagree with you. I think, though, this is kind of who they want to be. They want to run the football effectively. They want to control the clock. I think that it put them – I'll say this. Here's what I respect about their game plan today is I think that a lot of teams down 17-3 would have completely abandoned their game plan of wanting to run the football, wanting to control the clock. The Bills didn't. The Bills trusted that they were going to turn things around defensively. They did. And frankly, they knew that they were, I think Josh Allen said in his postgame comments, is that they knew they were staying in front of the chains, that they were, getting chunk plays. They averaged 6.4 yards per play in this game. So it's not like they had trouble moving the football, and running the football simply didn't work. They were running the ball well. I just think that it's easy to look at it and say they were a little conservative. Don't disagree that they were. But I do think that's a little bit of who they want to be. Do I agree with it? Maybe not. But I do think largely that this will evolve as the season goes on, as they find who they can rely on in the pass game, as they find out a little bit more about their identity offensively. But I think the identity that they've walked into the season with is we're going to run the football, be a physical brand of football, and, you know, try to stop us. And I think the Arizona Cardinals didn't really do that. I think it'll be really interesting to see what kind of game plan they come out next week with the Miami Dolphins. That's for sure. 803-0550. Thanks for the call, Johnny. And we'll continue getting connected with our fans on the other side. Brought to you by Verizon, the official 5G network of the Buffalo Bills. Tomorrow, WGR, it's Buffalo Bills Football Monday, presented by Northwest Bank for What's Next. Get started at northwest.com. Jeremy and Joe breaking the game down in the morning, then the Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio from 10 to noon, followed by One Bills Live with Chris Brown and Steve Tasker from noon to 3, and it's Chopin Bulldog at 3 p.m. featuring former Bill Eric Wood at 4 p.m. At 8 p.m., Westwood One presents the Jets and the 49ers for Monday Night Football. Buffalo Bills Football Monday all day tomorrow on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. We're going to take a timeout. We'll get you some live reaction from the locker room. We'll get you your eye on the quarterback, and keep taking your phone calls as the Bills get their first win of the season, locking down a 34-28 victory over the Arizona Cardinals. I'm Nate Geary. You're listening to the Overtime Show here on WGR.
Here's the snap. Hand off. No. It's a keeper by Allen. Looking for the pylon. Leaps for the goal line. And he's in. Touchdown, Buffalo. Allen with a 7-yard touchdown run. An 11-yard touchdown strike from Allen to Hollins, and the barefoot wonder scores from 11 yards out.
Chris Brown on the call there. Welcome back to the Transit Town Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. Transit Town, unbeatable prices, trusted service. Nate Geary here. Let's get connected with our fans. It's brought to you by Verizon, the official 5G network of the Buffalo Bills. Let's go to Kevin, who's been waiting patiently. Kevin, you're on the Overtime Show. Good evening to you. Kevin,
hey guys,
I got you.
Hear me?
Yep.
Yep. Yeah, I just wanted to talk today. I mean, sigh of relief, right? It's Bills football, we know. High blood pressure, we're back, baby. I think, you know, overall, and I don't want to come across as complaining, right? We all have friends and family that are complainers of the Bills, whether we win or lose, right? I think it's just the pain and suffering we've faced in the last few decades, right? You know, I think there's definitely positive takeaways, right? It was good to see Von Miller back. You know, Greg Russo is obviously a stud, and he's reaching his peak, I think, if he hasn't already. You know, I think we just want to see the championship caliber Bills, you know, that we're all waiting for, right? And I think early in the season, first game, you know, it's going to take some time. I think a lot of it's getting the jitters out, letting Josh settle in. You know, the takeaways about the offense, right? You know, we want to see improvements there. But I think, you know, we just need to see him more on the field So I think the focus is, you know, going to be on the defense moving forward, right? It's tough in this NFL when you have quarterbacks that are as tough as Mahomes, Tua, right? Everybody in the AFC that we got to see. So I think a lot of the focus is going to be on the defense, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we had a slow start. I don't think the offense got enough chances in the first half. You know, so I think the offense is going to be just fine, right? You know, we didn't see Kincaid, you know, go off like everybody would expect it, but that's going to come with the season. We have a lot of weapons on offense. But overall, I think, you know, aside from the linebackers, I think what would really take the pressure off of the, you know, the secondary and the linebackers would be the defensive line, right? So, you know, I think there's a lot to take away from today. You know, the Arizona Cardinals we played, who, you know, obviously are looking tougher than everybody would have thought, but, you know, the road only gets tougher from here. We got to go against the Dolphins in a few days and, you know, all the rest of the AFC contenders. So just want to get your takeaways and, you know, feedback moving forward, how we're going to adjust and, you know, handle the season overall defensively.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Kevin. Here's what I'll mention. I don't think the defensive line necessarily had a bad game. Obviously, you know, they got to the quarterback. There were a couple. I want to say where I would criticize the first half performance was more game plan, because I could tell that they were trying to rush the passer fairly conservatively, knowing that at any point Kyler Murray can just break the pocket and he's hard to catch. But I thought that they didn't do a good job of establishing the edges. You know, their pass rush lanes were fine, but I thought that they were a little aggressive on how the inside angles they were taking and giving Kyler Murray the outside. And if it were me, I wouldn't have done that. I would have really been making sure that especially my edge players, really letting the interior guys go and having the edge player sort of stand there. You see this sometimes against Lamar Jackson. That's how teams defend Lamar. I think Kyler Murray's a better thrower than Lamar. So it's not necessarily like you can just let you know, Kyler Murray stand back there and make throws because he'll beat you all day. You made a point there too, Kevin, about the Cardinals. I think that they're going to be a pretty damn good offense, to be honest. That defense, not very good, but their offense is going to score some points this year. That is no... You know, and that's to say, I think they're going to be a good offense, and their best offensive player didn't play particularly well. And that's Marvin Harrison Jr. had a really bad drop, and they never really looked to him again. So, it was a little bit of a baffling game plan, not getting him involved, but they had success. There's no doubt about that. Let's get a quick eye on the quarterback, which is brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business is protecting your business. In this game, Josh Allen, MVP level performance. Maybe the passing numbers didn't do it for you, but when you combine them with the rushing numbers, he had a hell of a game. 18 for 23, 232 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions. He was sacked twice and had 137.7 quarterback rating. On the ground, he had 9 carries for 39 yards and 2 touchdowns, one of which sealed the game for the Bills. And we'll keep an eye on that injury report as it pertains to Josh, who looked like he injured his hand or his wrist going in that touchdown. Tonight at 8 p.m. on WGR Sports Radio 550, Westwood One presents Rams at the Lions. Sunday Night Football on WGR is brought to you by New York's Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case and buy Armor Heat. Do it right the first time. We're going to take one more phone call, and then after the phone call, we're going to hear from Bills linebacker Terrell Bernard. But before we do that, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Sean. Sean, you're on the Overtime Show. Good evening, Sean.
Hey, Nate. How's it going, man?
Good, man.
I just want to bring up, like, so back in the, I'm not trying to rag on the refs because, you know, hey, we won and I'm glad we won and everything like that. But back in the first quarter, obviously we all know that Ingram, you know, he pulled up on the Arizona quarterback and, you know, got flagged for the other sort of roughness. Second quarter though, we got the torn face mask in the end zone. And reeled back Josh Allen and do, what would we?
Yeah, I think that was the one that they had to kick the field goal, right?
Yeah, we got the field goal. But, what, you know, right after the penalty, Josh Allen ran and ended up getting a hip tackle.
Yes.
The hip drop tackle. And no one is talking about that. And I know the NFL and the officiating and everything like that tried to really crack down on that in the offseason. And the fact that it just happened in week one to Josh Allen of a massive hip drop tackle, because Sean McDermott and Josh Allen were all up in arms about it and in the ref's face, and no one's talking about it. And that's the only thing I just kind of want to bring up.
Yeah, listen, it's a dangerous play, which is why they outlawed it. And you would have thought that would have been a great opportunity for this crew to sort of say, like, hey, this is how we're going to call it. But I think it's going to be I think banning it was silly because I think it's a very subjective play to try to ask referees to call, especially. And today, one of the things that was frustrating for me is there was I'm trying to think of the play where I thought to myself, I think it was the hip drop play, where that's where you need the sky judge to come down and make the call. Because the sky judge is up there and is allowed to just interject and make play and you know, call penalties. I thought that was a moment to do it. But, yeah, dangerous play. But I think it's going to be very difficult to police that sort of play for referees moving forward. And I think you saw an example of today that even though it seemed clear to most people, the referees missed it and you know, no call was made. So, you know, what are you going to do? All right, let's go live to the locker room. Let's hear from Bills linebacker Terrell Bernard. It's brought to you by Reimer Home Services for your HVAC, plumbing, and electric needs.
What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think just settling in. You know, the first game is always a little wild. You don't really know what to expect coming out. You know, we hadn't played a real football game in a little while, but you know, definitely some things that we adjusted on the sideline and came back and, you know, tried to correct some things, get a little bit more pressure, stay in coverage a little bit more, keep him in the pocket. And, you know, eventually, I think, you know, once we got closer to the second quarter, into the second quarter and, you know, into the second half, I think we made some adjustments and, you know, we ended up, you know, getting the win. So that's what we look forward to.
Because of the kickoff return and then, you know, having to settle for the field goal there, you guys had to go out twice. Really, you had to close the game out twice, and he did. So what were some of the keys to getting that done after it had been kind of a struggle?
Yeah, I think it goes back to what we had talked about earlier. I think just affecting the quarterback and, you know, speeding up his clock a little bit, you know, changing some things in the back end to adjust our coverages and, you know, how we were playing them, not giving them as much time to sit back there and, you know, kind of dunk it down and pick us apart a little bit. So, you know, we made the adjustments and, you know, like you said, we came out and we closed it twice.
What did Josh do for the defense today?
He did a lot. I mean, you know, he scored touchdowns in the red zone. You know, he extended drives, made huge plays. And, you know, that's what we've come to expect from Josh. You know, he kept us off the field a lot after we had been on for you know, a number of plays. So, you know, we appreciate him and, you know, he's the guy that runs this thing.
How big was what you got from Gregory Soto today for the defense?
Yeah, it was huge. You know, the turnover, sack fumble that he had, and then I think he had two other sacks in big situations. You know, Greg's been a guy that's gotten better every single day throughout training camp, throughout this offseason. And, you know, week one, coming out and doing that and changing the game, you know, that's Greg.
Terrell, how important those first couple of games is it for a defender like yourself to look at your keys, where the guards are going? How important is it those first couple of games? Because you don't have as much film on the opposing team.
Yeah, it's really important. You know, I think the main thing is just getting back to our fundamentals. You know, you go a long time without playing a game, and you kind of come out here and go at it. And, you know, we knew what to expect. You know, they have a really good scheme. They got really good players. And, you know, we had to settle down a little bit there in the first half. But, you know, we ended up with the win, made some adjustments at halftime, and, you know, were able to walk away with a win.
Terrence's a tough guy to replace, but the trust level in Cam seems like it's pretty high. What gives you that trust in him when he comes into the lineup?
Yeah, definitely tough to you know, try to replace Taryn. You know, we don't really know what's going on right now, but when Cam comes in, you know, he's a guy that can do everything too. He's physical, he's smart, he can blitz, he's obviously good in coverage. And then, you know, he made a lot of plays in the run game today, and, you know, that's what we're going to need from him. And it was good to see him out there, you know, flying around, making plays, getting big stops. So, you know, we'll get to work and, you know, build our connection and our chemistry going into week two.
What was Bobby's message to you guys at halftime? Because obviously, you know, the first half didn't go probably the way that he envisioned it.
Yeah, I think the main thing was just settle down. You know, we came out and there were some things going on. Quarterback got out of the pocket a little bit. They hit some runs on us. They made some plays. And I think our whole thing was just to calm down, get into the groove of the game, understand what they're trying to do, and then go out there and play how we know how to play.
All right, that is Bills linebacker Terrell Bernard following the Bills' 34-28 victory to get to 1-0 on the season. We're going to take a timeout, and on the other side, we'll continue taking phone calls, 803-0550. If you'd like to get in, we'd love to hear from you. And we'll keep chugging along, breaking down the Bills' 1-0 victory. We'll talk a little bit next hour about next week, because the Miami Dolphins had a 17-3 comeback win of their own against the dumbass Jaguars, who can never seem to do a damn thing right. What a terrible franchise to root for, the Jaguars. What a dumb name, too. Jaguars are just like useless animals. They do nothing for the environment. Anyways, more here on the Transitown Jeep, Chrysler, Dodge, Ram Overtime Show. Transitown, unbeatable prices, trusted service.
Pumps, balls out! And it's recovered by Buffalo. The question is whether they deem it an incomplete pass. Dorian Williams on the football. It's Buffalo ball.
I'll tell you, I'm convinced that Chris Brown could make a funeral really entertaining. I mean, what a G. Chris Brown on the call there. Welcome back to the Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. Transitown, unbeatable prices, trusted service. Let's get back and connected with our fans. It's brought to you by Verizon, the official 5G network of the Buffalo Bills. Let's go to Rob, who's been waiting patiently. Rob, thanks for hanging on, man. Welcome to the Overtime Show. Good evening to you.
Hello, Nate. How are you doing today? Man, I tell you what, I'm over here listening to you, and you are sugar high Nate, bro. I love it.
I did have a Schmelchius before I came on air, so thank you. I appreciate somebody noticing.
I'm like, he's sugar high Nate, not high blood pressure through the roof Nate today. I love it. I think I want to hear the Bills win more often.
Me too.
Yeah, definitely. I didn't know if you had one of those extra large Paula's coffee with the donuts. I don't know what the heck, but you're on a roll, kid. I love it. But, you know, I was disappointed with the first half, just like any other Bills Mafia fan, you know. But, you know, at halftime, I just had this funny feeling that, you know, in Babbage we trust, man. Mm. I knew he was going to turn it around, and our offense is going to start looking a lot better. One of the things I was thinking about, you know, Kyler Murray is slippery, and there's only two other quarterbacks out there that I could think of that are slippery as well, and we got to face them, and that's Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. Yeah. So, I mean, it's the first game of the season. Everybody that's got to work tomorrow is going to go in with a smile on their face, not looking down. So, I mean, trust in the Bills. It's still going to be a roller coaster of a ride, but I just wanted to say you're making a this very enjoyable listening to Sugar High Nate today. Thank you very much, bud.
Thanks for the call, Rob. I might change my Twitter name to Sugar High Nate. I don't know. We're going to hear from Dorian Williams here in just a moment. Before we do that, tomorrow on WGR, it's Buffalo Bills Football Monday, presented by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Jeremy and Joe in the morning. Then it's the Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio from 10 to noon, followed by One Bills Live with Chris Brown, Steve Tasker at noon. Chopin Bulldog at 3, featuring former Bill Eric Wood at 4. And then 8 p.m., Westwood One presents the Jets at the 49ers for Monday Night Football. Buffalo Bills Football Monday, all day tomorrow on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. Let's go live to the locker room and hear from Bills linebacker Dorian Williams. It's brought to you by Reimer Home Services for your HVAC, plumbing, and electric needs.
Dorian, what was the difference down 17-3, and then you kind of slowed them down a little bit, obviously, for the rest of the game? What was the difference after that possession?
We came inside, made a couple of adjustments, and kind of got to hold on to what they were trying to do to us. And the coach did a great job of adjusting, and everybody kept their confidence and their poise the whole game.
Well, you've played before, but what was it like starting and knowing you're playing the whole game, be able to kind of get into rhythm a little bit?
It felt good, you know, to go out there and have the confidence of the other guys and the confidence of myself to go out there and play, and you could kind of feel the guys pushing me along, so it felt great.
You guys succeeded coming back in this game. How much does it make a difference the way that you were able to win this with an adverse situation, down 14, figuring things out and making the adjustments you had to win this?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think any of the guys ever lost confidence in that. We always had trust in the offense. Offense always had trust in us, so we kind of all put it together in that second half, and you know, we're getting ready for next week.
immediate reaction to how you played today and rating yourself.
I play all right. You know, missed a couple tackles out there. Always can improve. Trying to fly around, get the ball out.
You mentioned what kind of impact does Greg and Bond make when they can get to the quarterback as often as they did today?
Oh man, it's a game changer. You know, those guys are elite pass rushers. So we're happy to get to all those guys. AJ, Smooth. everybody, DQ, you know, get ready to get all those guys going and get them out of the quarterback. Happy for them.
How about you talked about the adjustment made. It was one of those Kyler's legs and trying to make sure that he didn't extend those plays like he did earlier in the game?
Yeah, we knew they wanted to kind of get to the outside, to the perimeter, they wanted to get outside. So kind of made a couple of adjustments and made them start coming inside and fit the run better.
How about the job Cam did coming in for Taren?
Yeah, he did a great job. You know, those UB guys are, you know, they're showing out for us. So, he did a great job. Him, Jamarcus, they all did wonderful the whole game.
All right, that is Bills linebacker Dorian Williams, brought to you by Reimer Home Services for your HVA plumbing and electric needs. Tonight at 8 p.m. on WGR Sports Radio 550, immediately after our overtime show here, Westwood One presents the Rams at the Lions. Sunday Night Football on WGR is brought to you by New York's Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case, and by Armor Heat. Do it right the first time. Larry, Mike, Matt, hang out on hold. We will get to you guys on the other side. We will also get you more reaction from the locker room. We'll hear from Deion Dawkins. We'll hear from Josh Allen again. We'll get you Jamarcus Ingram, the other UB guy, had a great game. Cam Lewis. I got lots of guys coming up next in the next hour. Don't go anywhere. You've been listening to the Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. Transitown, unbeatable prices, trusted service. All right, welcome back to the Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. Transitown, unbeatable prices, trusted service. I'm your host, Nate Geary. Wasting no time getting to get connected with our fans. It's brought to you by Verizon, the official 5G network of the Buffalo Bills. Let's go to Larry. Thanks for hanging on, Larry. Welcome to the Overtime Show. Good evening to you.
Hey, Nate. Good evening to you, too. Thanks for having me on.
Sure thing.
You know, a few callers ago, the gentleman said, "We're back, baby." So we're celebrating down here in Lackawanna. And I just wanted to also say, "We're back, baby." And boy, does it feel good. So with that said, you know, I just wanted to get your take on what you thought about Josh Allen. You know, to me, he's like a composer out there. He dishes it a little bit to everyone. You know, you see Kincaid, you see Keon Coleman, you see the shoeless wonder, shoeless Mac Hollins. Hell of a game for him today. You know, and I'm wondering if you see any of these guys really rising to the top. And, you know, if you see someone taking over, and I forgot Shakir as well. But if you see someone taking over as that true number one target for our boy Josh. So I'll hang up and listen, and let me know your thoughts.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Larry. As I think it was Macho Man Randy Savage once said, "The green rises to the top." I'm pretty sure that's what he said. And I, at first, would have told you I thought it would have been Curtis Samuel. He did not really appear a huge part of the game plan. I do think that that probably changes. I think it's Keon Coleman and Khalil Shakir. And I liked the contributions you said from Shoeless Mac. I like what he brings. He brings a little bit of a mean streak and attitude. He's sure-handed. MVS down the field, he's going to have a little bit of a role, I think. There's some formations and packages that feature him. I think it's Keon and Shakir. It's one game. Maybe this changes and evolves, and I do think week to week it could change a little bit here and there. But yeah, Keon surprised me. I'm not going to lie to you. I expected like a 1-for-9 and played, you know, 20 snaps kind of performance from Keon Coleman. What we got today was not what I would have predicted. That's for sure. Thanks for the call, Larry. Let's go to Mike. Mike, you're on the Overtime Show. Good evening to you, Mike.
Hey, yeah, no, it was, you know, watching the offense today was a, you know, for the last 4 years, we've seen them funnel the ball to Diggs. It was different out there, and I love the way that Josh spread the ball around to different receivers, Khalil, Mac, Keon, even Dawson Knox got a catch out there, and I'm curious to see going forward, because Kincaid wasn't really involved. He I thought would be involved and wasn't. They got different options, game plan specific to go against teams. And I'll tell you another bright spot that I thought was a bright spot in the preseason, and I think it carried over with limited action today, was Ray Rice. I really believe they have something with that guy. And I know Cook had a good game, but, you know, just encouraging to see different options for Josh to process the offense and flow of the game and hit different targets out there.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Mike. I Yeah, you know, it's different. And maybe not better yet, but it's different. And I think that seeing how Josh got everybody involved, I'm with you in the Kincaid disappointment. And it's not on him. He got one target in this game, and he, you know, got the, I think, two targets, one catch. I think that there was a concerted effort by the Arizona Cardinals to say, we don't think your receivers can beat us. We're not going to let Kincaid do it, because we know that's the guy you want to throw the football to. You want to funnel your offense through. Rightfully so. I think that's how it will be week in and week out. But I think in the first couple of weeks of the year, the Bills are going to have to prove to teams that their receivers can beat them. Today, the Bills receivers beat the Arizona Cardinals defense. And I think they're going to have to keep proving that week in and week out. Thanks for the call, Mike. Let's go to Matt. Matt, you're on the Overtime Show. Good evening to you, Matt.
Hey, what's up? Hey, how you doing, boss?
Good, buddy.
Yeah, today what Josh did, he was an MVP caliber. Like, he leaps over people, he jumps over them. And if he doesn't get MVP this year, then I don't know what to say.
Yeah, listen, if he keeps playing like he did today, thanks for the call, Matt. Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to eventually give him an MVP. And I was really impressed by the performance today, both on the ground and in the air. At 17-3, I don't know if anyone else sort of thought this. Somebody called me Sugar High Nate today. I kind of felt like maybe Sugar High Josh was about to come out. And at no point was Josh pressing, putting the ball in a double coverage. Everything that I think Josh Allen did today, he did with poise. He was remained patient even down 17-3. That's really hard to do. I thought Joe Brady maintained his patience, didn't move away from running the football. They were having a lot of success getting chunk plays with James Cook, and they didn't move away from it, even though I think they easily could have, being down 17-3. But I think they knew that they were having their way with that Cardinals defense, and just remain patient. The points are going to come. Yeah, I think it did. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Justin. Justin, you're on the Overtime Show. Good evening, Justin.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Just want to say go Bills, and they played excellent today. The only thing that was really concerning to me was the way the defense played, in the first half. I think it's concerning that they started off very slow, and the other team, their defense played, lights out in the first half, I think that our defense needs to step it up, next game.
Yeah.
Anyways, go Bills, man.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Justin. Listen, I think, in fairness, I do think they stepped up in the second half. I think that, especially with Taron Johnson going out in the first possession, I think that there was a little bit of a mad scramble to what are we going to do with the groupings and the pairings we're going to put on defense. I thought Jamarcus, I said this to the start of the show, Jamarcus Ingram played really damn well in a role I didn't even know he really played. I didn't know he played in the slot. I thought he was a boundary corner. And when they went to dime looks, Cam Lewis bumped into that, sort of rover slash, whatever you want to call it, your big dime look. And I thought in run looks that Cam Lewis looked at home. Both those guys stepped up in a big way. So I do think, generally speaking, the defense did step up in the second half. Tough performance to start. Absolutely. I get it. But moving forward, it's finding the identity without Matt Milano, and hopefully not without Taron Johnson for a long time. Thanks for the call, buddy. Let's go to Matt. You're on the Overtime Show. Welcome, Matt.
Hey, Nate. How's it going?
It's going good, man. How are you?
Not too bad. Just want to talk about two receivers, Keon Coleman and Khalil Shakir. Keon Coleman, that one catch on the right side of the he caught that one amazing catch on the right side of the sideline. That was worth, honestly, that was a better play than any of those Xavier Weather plays that on Thursday night. And then Khalil Shakir, boy, what an effort to get that touchdown. I think this is a great wide receiver group, and I look forward to the rest of the year.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Matt. Listen, it was a important game to show that this group is maybe not as bad as people like me. I mean, I don't think together as a group that they really stand up to the rest of the league. I think they're a bottom five unit. But today went a long way in giving me confidence that Josh, listen, part of this conversation is that Josh Allen's just a damn good quarterback and he can make it work with regardless of who's in the lineup. And I don't think that changes today necessarily, but I do think that as a group, we didn't even see, a guy that at least I thought, was probably going to be the number one receiver in Curtis Samuel. We didn't see it yet with him. And we didn't see it with Kincaid. So without Kincaid and Samuel doing much, to see them score 34 points with the group of receivers that did step up, I thought was a really promising sign. So good stuff all around there. All right, before we go back to the locker room here from Von Miller and Gregory Rousseau, a reminder that tomorrow on WGR, it's Buffalo Bills Football Monday, presented by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at Northwest.com. Jeremy and Joe breaking the game down in the morning. Then the Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio from 10 to noon, followed by One Bills Live with Chris Brown and Steve Tasker. That'll be at noon. Show up and Bulldog at 3 with Eric Wood at 4. And then at 8 p.m., Westwood One presents the Jets at the 49ers. Buffalo Bills Football Monday all day tomorrow on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. All right, let's go live to the locker room here from Bills edge rushers, Von Miller and Gregory Rousseau. It's brought to you by Reimer Home Services for your HVAC, plumbing, and electric needs.
Maybe you guys, or one of you guys, maybe after the start in the first half, what really changed things in the second half, especially with you guys on defense?
You want a mic?
Can you grab the microphone, guys?
Thank you. Yeah, we felt... I think we just had to get adjusted. You know, we always felt confident in our pass rush. First game of the season, you know, there's a lot of things that you got to adjust to. You know, a lot of things that you don't see, but we adjusted well. We knew we would be able to get pass. We knew we would be able to, you know, get the pass rush started. All we had to do was tighten up in the run, and, you know, we made some adjustments. They ran the ball pretty well first half. You know, we just had to make some adjustments to get our stuff going.
Greg, big performance from you. What allowed you to explode out of the gate like you did today?
Man, just being out there with 10 other dogs every single play and having that 4-1 mindset on rushing up front, knowing if I don't get it, somebody else is getting it, you know what I'm saying? We all just got that same just dog mindset. And just when we had our chances, when the game was kind of declared in the one-dimensional, we took advantage of it.
Seems like you made, like, all your plays were game-changing plays, the strip sack, the sack on third down. What's it feel to impact the game the way you did today?
Man, it's a blessing, and I'm just happy to be out there with the guys that I'm out there with, because that's what it's all about, you know what I'm saying? One day might be me, the next second it's somebody else making a play, so we're just feeding off each other's energy. It's just a blessing to be out there, just grateful for the opportunity.
Well, you've talked a lot about wanting to, you know, get back in the sack column. How did that feel after, you know, so much work that you've done?
You know, it felt good. I mean, you think about it for so long. Like, you think about it all last year, then when you get hurt, like, you know what? Can't wait to get a sack. Can't wait to get a sack. And then when you get the sack, it's just business as usual. It's like it's just you act like you've been there before. But it, you know, I'm not gonna lie. It definitely felt good. You know, after you know the type of season that you know I went through and the type of season that we all went through last year, to come in here and get multiple sacks and really just do what we do and go out there and showcase everything that we've been working on throughout the offseason, it definitely feels good, 100%.
Greg, on the play where you strip, you know, Kyler Murray and then Dorian Williams comes up with the fumble, just what did you see on that play, and, you know, how did that change the momentum of the game?
Just getting off the ball, you know what I'm saying, using my speed. I kind of saw that, like a little tell before the snap or whatever, and then just got off the ball, used my hand, and fell underneath.
Hey, Bob, when you see Josh leaping in for a touchdown, making plays on the run, how much you've been here for a couple of years now, does it still give that kind of energy boost that you guys?
Yeah, man, I like, you know, that's Josh Allen, you know. It's amazing. You see the crowd, they go crazy too. You know, we got Josh Allen, man. We always going to have a chance in games. It didn't matter, you know, how much we were down. It didn't matter what it looked like, you know. You know, we just got so much trust in Josh Allen and that offense. But every time he makes plays like that, it definitely gets us going for sure.
I know it's just one game, but how important is it to start with a win? You know, last year you guys were on the other end of it, but how important is it to kind of get off on the right foot?
It's important. And, you know, we'll celebrate this one, and, you know, we'll debrief, and then we'll, you know, get ready for a good Miami team on Thursday. It's a really short week, so we don't have a lot of time to celebrate. We can't celebrate all the way to Wednesday. But we'll celebrate this one tonight, though, for sure. And then, you know, we'll get in the film room and scout Miami and get ready for those guys.
Since you arrived, we've asked you about Greg over and over and over again. You kept talking about how he's growing and he's getting there. Yep. Is this one of those games where you look at and go, he's there?
This is definitely one of those games. You know, we sit just like this in the meeting room, and we're always talking about little things and how to improve and how to get better. And we speak the same languages. It's not a mentor, little brother type thing. We speak the same language up there. We're seeing the same things. So when he wins, I win, and it's just a great feeling to see him grow and see him develop into one of the premier pass rushers in this league. It's only about five of them, and he's definitely one of them for sure, too, bro.
How about Cam Lewis today? Taron goes out with the injury. Cam steps in, second on the team in tackles. What can you say for his performance today?
Man, we're neither surprised nor satisfied. Mm-hmm. You know, he does those type of things in practice. He did those type of things last year. He's been great for us. Since I've been on the team, he's made a lot of plays.
He really embodies the mindset and the personality of this defense. So when he came in there, we already knew it was going to happen. We knew we were going to have a fall off. Taron Johnson getting hurt, that's a huge one. Best nickel in the league, but hopefully we'll get him back fast. Cam Lewis is more than ready to go, though, for sure.
Mark, you've been kind of stagnated in the top 17, 18 sack leaders because of the injury. How important is it for you to get back on track this year? You're not too far off of Lawrence Taylor. It's some of the greatest sacks of all time.
All I can do is just take it one play, one game at a time. You know, I'd love to go out there and get 5 sacks, 6 sacks, and just leap all type of guys, but I'm here for the long game. And, you know, I don't pay attention to what people said about my age or injury or none of that. I know the guys in the room know what type of player I am, what I can do on that football field. And I just take it one play at a time. And what's for me is for me, and if it's not, it's not. I know that nothing in this life is by coincidence, and I'm just going to go out there and just do what I do one play at a time.
Seems like you guys made some adjustments at halftime that led to some more success on defense. What did Bobby say to you at halftime, or anything he did to kind of switch things up in the second half?
Dang, you got the feds in here. Well, I've said it before. Bobby's a great coach. He's a great teacher. He's great with schemes, of course. But when it comes to the mindset, he's just a master at that. And it was nothing. They did a great job running the ball, but we were able to just make some adjustments on defense, put us in a different front. Get solid on the edge. They were pulling the guard, tackle. They had some CGs as well. And we're just able to adjust to that and just limit those 6-yard runs to 2, and that's all we really needed.
All right, there are your edge rushers who combined for 4 sacks, 3 for Greg Rousseau, 1 for Von Miller. By the way, his first sack since the 2022 season. So good to see Von getting back on track. We're going to go back to the locker room. Before we do, a reminder that tonight at 8 p.m. on WGR Sports Radio 550, Westwood One presents the Rams at the Lions. Sunday Night Football on WGR is brought to you by New York's Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case, and by Armor Heat, do it right the first time. All right, as promised, back to the locker room live. We're going to hear from Bills wide receiver Khalil Shakir, and it's brought to you by Reimer Home Services for your HVAC, plumbing, and electric needs.
I think it's just a belief that we all have in each other. Everybody, looking each other in the eyes and saying, put one foot in front of the other, take it one play at a time, and let's keep going. We know what we're capable of doing, we're all on the same track. And just a communication piece. We know the preparation we put in, so it was just communicating with each other to, get things going.
Touchdown, can you explain the play?
Yeah, a little screen. I don't know if you guys saw Deion's block, but I'm like right behind him, just following him. He just lays some dude out. And as I'm running, it's like so hard. When somebody makes a play like that, like it's like, oh my goodness, but I realize I'm carrying the ball, I gotta get in the end zone, So great blocks by him, great blocks by everybody all around on that play. I know Mac was on. Was in the 3 spot and came out and picked up a big block as well. So that's just, team football.
From your own perspective, how were you able to stay up for that last little bit?
I don't know. In those moments, you kind of just black out and fall on, the preparation throughout the week. We run those plays a lot. And for me, it was just, I knew it was right there and just did my best to push through and get in the end zone.
Contact balance seems to be just exceptional. You're bouncing off defenders all game long today. Similar to Catherine's question, what allows you to maintain your balance through contact so often?
That's a great question. I think for me, when the ball's in my hands, I think that's my game right there. The quick game and getting the ball in my hands and making something happen. Just reacting when the ball's in my hands. Guys flying all over the place. You're seeing white jerseys out there, and it's just at the end of the day, I want to make that play for my teammates. I want to make sure that when the ball's in my hands, that I do something for them. Everything I do is for them. The preparation throughout the week is put in, the work is put in, the blood, sweat, and tears is put in with them. So just doing everything for those guys.
We've asked you all summer about the offense, what it's going to look like. We kept hearing this thing, everybody eats. Is that what everybody eats is?
Yeah, pretty much. I think that you got a little bit of a glance of it today. Different guys making huge plays, showing up big time and in big time moments throughout the game. And I guess that's a glimpse at what it means everybody eats.
Just to follow up on that, what did you learn about the receiving corps today, how that you got to see the group actually in the game?
Yeah, I think it's any one of us can make a play at any given time. Everybody kind of had their bit in showcasing, what we can do as a wide receiver room. You got Mac, making plays with the touchdown, a couple catches. Curtis doing his thing. But I think the big thing is, you know, we realize that not every wide receiver can have, you know, 200 yards a game, right? But as well as everybody else showing up in the run game as well. Wideouts doing their thing in the run game, contributing to the play to the best of our ability, even when the ball's not coming our way. And that's what that room is about, is making sure that, you know, when the ball's not in our hands, getting around the ball to help out however we can.
I've been asked this, but on the screen pass touchdown, they sent a blitz. So
yeah.
It was just 3-on-3 there. I mean, did you see that as the play before you catch the ball that you could? It's 3-on-3.
Yeah. I mean, for that play, when the ball is in my hands, I'm supposed to make a play, but I know the O-line is coming out to make a couple blocks, and I mentioned Deion Dawkins coming out and making a crazy block. So if you haven't seen that, definitely go watch that back, because he made that play right there. Mac as well made a huge block on that. But that's just everybody doing their 111th and me just, you know, following those guys in there.
What was your vantage point of the Josh Hurdle touchdown?
I seen it. I think I was on the left side. I don't even know if I was on the field, but I was just screaming. Like, just, I mean, when you see him do things like that, I mean, he's a true leader, true competitor, true warrior. He's making plays like that, and it's pushing everybody else to be their best as well. Serious love for that guy and everything he does, not only in his, you know, preparation, but just him as a guy as well, man. He's a great dude. You know, would follow that guy in the battle any day.
What about Keon's catch on the sideline? He's been doing it all training camp.
Amazing. I was screaming as well on that one, too. You know, you never really know how it's going to go. First game, first regular season game for rookies, and he did his thing. And I was telling him before the game, like, just be you, Key. That's all we need, be you. Joe Brady has his thing, is be you with us. And that's exactly what he did tonight. Showed that he's a competitor, he's a playmaker, and he's going to continue to do so.
When you have a game where they're controlling the time of possession, you have three possessions in the first half. What are the challenges? What are the things you do to try to get yourself engaged in the game and in rhythm when you have the ball for such a small amount of time?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, that the slow start and all those things is I think what you're referring to. And it's just, you know, staying warm on the sidelines, watching the defense do their thing, cheering the defense on the sideline, watching those guys make plays, and you know, whatever it is for any individual to stay warm, to get out there when we have the ball to be able to play fast, you know, however long we have the ball or we're not on the field for, whether, you know, it's however long it is, just making sure that we're ready when the time comes for us to go out there and do our thing.
All right, Bills wide receiver Khalil Shakir, after another great performance from the Bills' third-year player. He ends the game this afternoon with 3 catches for 42 yards on 3 targets. So once again, when they throw him the ball, when the ball goes to Khalil Shakir, good things happen. And that's not it, though, because Keon Coleman today also, 4 for 51, I thought had a great game as well on 5 targets. So the Bills receivers today, you know, I think answering a lot of questions and maybe bringing some confidence to not just the fan base, but this team as a whole. All right, timeout on the other side. We're going to get you more from the locker room. We're going to hear from Josh Allen and Coach Sean McDermott. So that's coming up next. Don't go anywhere on the Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. All right, welcome back to the Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. I'm Nate Geary, your host. We are going to go back to the coach's podium because we're going to hear from Bills head coach Sean McDermott. More from the Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show coming up next. We're going to hear from Bills quarterback Josh Allen. It's brought to you by Reimer Home Services for your HVAC, plumbing, and electric needs. And a reminder, tonight at 8 p.m. right after the show on WGR Sports Radio 550, Westwood One presents the Rams at the Lions. Sunday Night Football on WGR is brought to you by New York's Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case and buy Armor Heat. Do it right the first time. Timeout. Again, other side, QB1 coming up here on the Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. All right, welcome back. Our final segment here tonight on the Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. We hear from Bills quarterback Josh Allen, and it's brought to you by Reimer Home Services for your HVAC, plumbing, and electric needs. All right, there's QB1, and a reminder, tomorrow on WGR, it's Buffalo Bills Football Monday, presented by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Jeremy.com. Jeremy and Joe breaking the game down in the morning, then the Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio from 10 to noon, followed by One Bills Live with Chris Brown and Steve Tasker. That'll be at noon. Show up and Bulldog at 3. They'll have Eric Wood at 4. And then at 8 p.m., Westwood One presents the Jets at the 49ers for Monday Night Football. Buffalo Bills football Monday, all day tomorrow on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. Thursday Night Football on deck, Bills and Dolphins. I'll be along for network postgame, and Mike and Chris will have you for pregame. So for me, Nate Geary, for my esteemed colleague and producer this evening, who always does a wonderful job, TJ Luckman, we appreciate you listening to our first edition for the 2024 season of the Transit Town Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. Ram Overtime Show. I'm Nate Geary, your host. We are going to go back to the coach's podium because we're going to hear from Bills head coach Sean McDermott.
Just all glory to God, man. Just all glory to him for his blessings in more than just football. And what an environment, like it always is here in Western New York and Orchard Park. Fans were incredible. Not surprised, and I'm sure that our new players, that this was an experience for them like they've never had before. Great to get a win, hard-fought battle, give Arizona credit. They came in here and had a good plan, and we got down early in the game, and then we're fighting back from there, and I think that in and of itself is a great sign for our football team. Every week's like that, right? But to have that with a new team and for them to stick together and pull it out and really come together, the staff did a great job of making some adjustments, communicating with each other, and then we had some guys go down as well. So Taron went down early there. I think it was the first drive, in fact, and guys stepped in and stepped up, and you finally with Jamarcus Ingram making that play. I mean, it's a great example of being ready right when your number's called. So the effort that the team put in, the effort that he put in to get himself ready to go, was what it needs to be. So with that, I'll turn it over to you with your questions.
On all the injuries,
I don't have enough information to say what it is yet, Sal. Other than it is his forearm, so that's all I know right now.
Cam said that he was preparing all week for that dime roll, had to shift. He goes and plays for Taron and Jamarcus. Can you just speak to the two of them, what they were able to accomplish, with you guys down a couple scores?
Yeah, I mean, Cam we knew Cam was in a pivotal role, playing the dime, starting dime, but also being the primary backup at more than one position, and then he had to go in right away first. You don't always expect it to be the first drive for to get to your backup there, but he plays like a starter. And again, credit to him for being prepared, and then we're mixing and matching. I thought the coach did a good job, and there was a chance that Jamarcus was not even going to be up. We lost Smoot later in the week, and so we juggled some things around and moved some pieces around. And again, I thought the coaches and players, in fact, did a great job of just, remaining poised. I think it was Friday, I believe, when we were kind of going through it with Smoot's situation there. So a late week add with Jamarcus being up, and he did a phenomenal job.
Hey, Sean, the until the fourth quarter there, when he came up with the two stops, third down defense was definitely a struggle today.
Yep.
I mean, he extends plays, I get that. But is there anything else that was concerning to you on that front?
On the third downs?
Third down.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we weren't very good at all. And some of it was they were getting into third and manageable situations, and that goes back to winning first and second down. So I thought Bobby and the defensive staff did a great job at halftime, addressing it and then making some adjustments. And I think we came out better in the second half and played a little bit more our style defense and were a little bit more aggressive and just playing and just having some fun out there, as opposed to waiting and reacting to what they were doing.
Sean shot Josh went airborne for his touchdown run. even his teammates have said, we still don't like seeing that. Do you still get worried when he leaves his feet like that?
Always. I mean, I'm always trying to keep my eyes on him. You know, we're talking to my locker room after, and someone was saying, hey, did you, you know, Josh had this guy open on this play, and I'm like, I just keep my eyes on him most of the time just to make sure he's doing all right, and then, you know, making sure that he's not hit late or whatever. So it's hard to see the guys open down the field for me even, and making sure he's doing okay. So yeah, he's a competitor, and you never want anything to happen. There's a balance there, as always. Like, we talk about that a lot. So,
Sean, we've seen it before with Khalil Shakir, just the run after the catch and the ability to bounce off the guys. How tough is he?
Football player, man, right? Go have him run a 40. Like, get him out of his street clothes right now, have him run a 40. Right, have him do a vertical jump, right? Football player. Right. Football player.
What Greg Rousseau can you reflect?
Not that he's probably not a good vertical jumper. I don't.
Can you reflect on Greg Rousseau's performance?
Yeah, big time day. Big time day. I love that he carried over to the game what he had shown in training camp and then the last couple weeks in practice. That's big. Like, when you can take how you do things from practice and do it in the game, that's a mindset, right? And so that's also growth and maturation in and of itself.
How about DeMar? How did you feel he fared in his first start out there?
Yeah, I mean, we got a lot of first-time guys out there playing today and, you know, laying their guts on the line for the team, and I thought DeMar handled himself well. I really did.
What did you see out of the receiving core as a group?
On our receiving core?
Yes.
I mean, I think Keon was the most targeted. A lot of guys involved. You know, I thought we did a better job in the second half of getting Dalton more involved. There, but sometimes, you know, we're trying to get him involved and they take him away. So I thought Josh was doing a good job of, you know, moving the ball around and taking what the defense was giving him. That's huge, right, when you're doing that and willing to be patient against a split safety, primarily split safety defense. So, again, like, we've got a lot of room for improvement, right? We were beating ourselves in an undisciplined fashion and manner at times, penalties, pre-snap penalties in particular, and you know, just beating ourselves overall with some execution issues. So we can take a lot from this game.
Coach, have you had an opportunity to look at what happened on the kickoff return with the new rules? I know that's something that you've been working on.
Yeah.
But have you looked at a little bit of that play and what happened on that play?
On the return, the long return?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to see still, you know, and they were going for two, and so we were more getting organized there. They obviously creased it there, and we'll look at it on tape. I'm walking back over here in a couple minutes when I'm done here, and going to take a look at it.
Sean, can you take us through the last sequence when you had the ball? What's going through your head if you're debating going for that and, you know, trying to keep the offense on the field? What was going through
your mind? Yeah, what are all the analytics people saying out there, right? I mean, that's a tough one. That's a loaded situation. You know, would love to put the game away, but just going for it right there wouldn't necessarily, if we got it, wouldn't necessarily put the game away, as they held three timeouts. And fourth and two, it was going to be, we were going for it on fourth and two or less. Fourth and three, and then it was a longer three. And so I debated over going for it or not and just felt like, you know what, I want to give our defense a chance to defend a touchdown here. And as it turned out, it worked. I mean, if you look at it where the last line of scrimmage was for them, it was in the 20, 25-yard line. They're probably kicking a field goal there, and we're going to overtime more than likely. Or, you know, we're trying to save those timeouts to have a counterattack. So there's a lot that goes into that one. I'm glad it worked out and, you know, but thought hard about it right there.
What's the with a close competitive game like this right to the end, and then you got to turn things right around Thursday night, just from your perspective, and how are you going about it with your staff and so forth?
Yeah, so I'm about to meet the coordinators over there, like I said, when I'm done here, and I'm going to try and shower first. I'm sure they'd appreciate that, and then go back over there and set the vision for the week. And we've tried to work a little bit in the off season, knowing that this is going to be a challenge. But this will be a test overall for us, right? We've got some new players, new staff members, and you know, we got to go on the road to a divisional opponent. So be a big challenge for us.
Sean, I know you said you don't have injury specifics, but with Josh, who's getting his hand looked at there, and it is a short week. Generally speaking, is there some concern there on your part, or maybe what could you tell us, if anything, on that?
Yeah, Jay, always concern, right? Anytime anybody's hurt, in this case, for sure, Josh. So I'll know more again, hopefully, in the next couple of hours, and maybe even when I walk back, you know, through the hallway here. So always concerned for sure.
You said this the other day that you expect to learn things every week about this team just because of the turnover. What'd you learn about your team today?
Well, you know, you go through it, and the NFL is hard, right? It's hard to win. You almost got to take the logos off the helmets because it really doesn't matter, right? Who you play, where you play. It's how you play, how we play, and I think this team was tested early here, right? Tested early from injuries, early in the game I'm talking about, and then, you know, in the fourth quarter, and that's where games are decided in this league, in our league, and, you know, it starts with leadership in the locker room with the players that we have, and they got to lead from the front, and that's true this week as well, right? On a short week, some guys banged up, and you know, we'll be led by our leadership group.
How about Von Miller? He broke through with a sack today. Just what does that mean to your team? We know how much the players look up to him and his leadership, and to have the productivity go with that leadership, how much does that mean?
Yeah, that's important, right? You know, being able to produce like that, and it just compounds one's leadership influence, really. So not that he wasn't influential before, but I'm sure for him, too, it felt good. He was smiling after it and everything. So, it's been a long journey, and he's worked hard. And I don't care who you are, you know, future Hall of Famer or what. You know, that's a grind. And to be able to come back and do what he did today at a pivotal moment in particular was huge.
Sean, at the end of the game, when they had the ball third down, third and nine, they run the ball against the soft box there, right? I mean, how big of a stop was that? Can you kind of walk us through that play, that sequence right there?
Yeah, no, it was huge, you know, and they were holding, I think, going into the drive, three timeouts, right? And then I think maybe they were down to two there, but they still had control of the clock. And so I'm assuming that's what they were, that's why they did what they did. And we did a great job. I don't even know who it was, one or two guys up front getting off of a block and making a big time play. We were outnumbered a little bit there too. And that was a huge play setting up the fourth and long. You know, if it's first down there, you know, it's a new game. It's a different situation. But having them fourth and long, and then I thought Bobby did a great job being aggressive there. And again, Jamarcus Ingram, you know, again, our guys, man, it's the first game. There's so many unknowns the first week of the season every year. And to be tested like that and to come through, you know, it's a step. It's a small step, but it's a step. And I appreciate how gutsy they were in that situation.
When you have Josh Allen, the easy thing from the outside looking in is just to be aggressive at all times. But late in the first half, when you guys kind of ran the ball and let it go down to the two-minute warning, was it just about not getting the ball back to them? And you ended up scoring the touchdown, but what went into the thinking of the approach of that drive?
Well, I believe at that time, Matt, we had three. I think we held three timeouts, right? So we let it go down the two-minute. Every situation is a little bit different, but end of half, you know, you're making sure, number one, that you don't give them the ball. They had the win there. Give them the ball and a chance to score before half. So we wanted to control the game at that point. And so we took it down. We have three timeouts. We're extremely comfortable. Our guys are, at least, because we practice it quite a bit. And we weren't, like, we were not even in two-minute mode at that point. So felt good. I thought the guys up in the booth did a great job of saying, now we're good. We'll take it down. But you're also thinking about a counterattack there, too, making sure that you're being smart with the clock and how you're managing the game there. All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.